Welcome to Jesus School of Disciple Makers. This is a spiritual growth devotional series examining the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. We focus on four areas, each beginning with a C, i.e. Christ, Church, Christian, and Covenant, with special emphasis on the practical application of the principles Jesus taught. He said, "He who believes in me can do what I do, and even greater works," in John 14:12. Greetings. My name is Arthur Dilley, and I trust you will enjoy going and growing on a spiritual journey with me as we walk in Christ's footsteps. Today we will look at the topic of Christian believer basics. Paul talks about many believers who remain spiritual babies, who constantly argue about kingdom basics and never grow to maturity. He mentions areas that must be dealt with for new members in the church. These topics are baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, judgment, etc., which every believer should be fully aware of, so that no arguments or divisions can occur through ignorance. I've added four other topics that are equally important, that is, repentance, faith, salvation, being born again. These we will go through in depth, using scripture to lay a solid foundation. Let us start at the beginning. Salvation, what it means and why is it necessary? The definition from Strong's Concordance is the act of being preserved from harm, rescued, made whole and delivered. The question would be, is what harm are we saved from and why? John 3 verse 16 states that we were all perishing, but that those who believed in Jesus and his message of God's love would not perish, but receive eternal life, starting here on earth, as opposed to eternal death. When we die, our spirits will go to one of two places. There are two kingdoms, according to Jesus, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. We must ask ourselves, which kingdom do we belong to? When we were first conceived, God's Spirit gave us life, and we were created as a child to be in his kingdom. However, as we grew up, we all went our own way and chose to do the works of the kingdom of darkness, with the result that God's wrath was upon us, and we were destined to go to hell and eternal condemnation. This through the original sins of Adam and Eve, who were disobedient. Ephesians 1 verse 13 says, "And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit." In John 12:47 we see, "As for the person who hears my words, but does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to the world to judge it, but to save it." In Romans 5:9, "Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?" The question is, how is one saved? Paul tells us in Romans 10:9 that if you can confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Can we do anything to earn our salvation? Ephesians 2:8, Paul writes, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not by works, it is the gift of God." Verse 9, "Not because of works, lest any man should boast." And here's the important part, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Once saved, are we always saved? Jesus said, "Only those who hold on to the end will be saved." Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." There's a working out of your salvation. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9, "For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." It is possible to lose our salvation. Jesus clearly said, "Anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom." The parable of the seed sower, he tells us of four different kinds of seed. Some are saved, but because of attractions and problems of the world, others return back to where they once were. Peter even talks about a pig returning to his sty when we fall away. Is there any other way to be saved? In Acts 4:12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Jesus said in John 14 verse 6, "No one comes to the Father but through me." Why must we be saved if we are good people? Jesus said, "If anyone says he has not sinned, they are a liar." We live in a sinful world that can contaminate us. In James 1 verse 21, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." And I think that is a good injunction, that when we are struggling, we need to know the scripture, and we can quote the scripture to ourselves as well as to others, so that we will remind ourselves what the options are and what our choices will eventually accomplish. What other requirements are there? John 3:3. "In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again, or born from above." This will be dealt with in another module. To conclude, salvation means to be rescued, delivered, set free, healed, forgiven, cleansed, restored, in right standing with God, made whole, a new creature or creation, able to be called children of God with an eternal inheritance and a life everlasting into his kingdom. In closing, in the next section, we will deal with repentance, of believers' basics, and I pray that you'll be encouraged to grow in your knowledge and experience of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as a disciple and disciple maker. Arthur Dilley, signing off till next time, DV, and God bless.